everyone, and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Nicole Kamanjian. I'm here with Cody Richard and the host of this show, Jeff Rappaport. This is episode 235, and today is part four of lease options versus owner financing. While listening to this episode, if you guys have questions, please head over to the Creative Financing Podcast Facebook group. If you're not part of the community, just search the Creative Financing Podcast in Facebook and ask to join. There will be a live session on the second Thursday of every month, so bring your questions. If you are watching this on YouTube, you can ask your questions in the comments below. Lastly, we want to thank you for subscribing, liking, and sharing this podcast with your friends.
Thank you. All right, so we're going to wrap this series up. And I thought a good way to do that would be to look at an example, see how it kind of plays out. And so when the two of you have any questions, you let me know. All right, so here's our example. We have a condo, okay? And two bed, 1.5 bath. It's worth 190. They were asking 170. There are the taxes of 837 a year. The HOA, which most people, when they don't like to deal with condos because of the HOA. I would tell you that, hey, that this might be like the hidden market, because maybe condos don't quite sell as well as single family homes, but there's just nowhere near the same amount of competition for them. This guy owes $30,000 on this property, and he had a payment of $440 a month, PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance were all added in. Okay. He wanted a down payment of $10,000, or that's what we offered. And he said, okay. And we offered him so we were going to pay his monthly payment, $440. We're going to give him $275 a month cash flow, principal only, for 5 years. Okay. And at the end of the 5 years, I don't know if I figured out the balloon payment, but I think we'll get to it somewhere down the road. But it'd be 275 times 60 minus $10,000. Subtracted from 170.
And you probably get into this, but did you end up structuring it with two different notes? I mean, one of them is for the amount of his equity, yes. And the other one's for the amount of the loan. Okay.
That is exactly what we did. So we did an exact wrap for $30,000. Okay. And the rest of the interest, the balance, all of it, the payment was exactly what his underlying note was. So almost like we were taking this subject two. And then we created another note for the equity. So whatever, you know, we got, we looked at the last mortgage statement, saw the balance, and whatever the balance was on his equity was a second note, paid at $275 a month with no interest for. And then both of them had a balloon of 60 months. Okay.
Yep.
This property was not, I mean, it was nothing special. It was basically just, you know, a two bedroom, 2 1.5 bath apartment, basically, and was not updated. It was in good condition, but, you know, no granite, no, you know, it was carpet and nothing. No high-end finishes at all, okay? And this would have rented for somewhere around $1,100, $1,150 a month. All right, so if we were going to look at doing this where we bought it, so both examples are we bought it on owner finance, okay? Now the question is selling it on a lease option, okay? So first thing is the HOA going to allow us to do it? And I don't know if they would have, but there's a good chance they would not have. And so you'd want to know that pretty quickly before you tried to move forward with this. Okay, what could we get as an upfront option deposit? And what will it make sense to rent the property? What kind of cash flow would we have? And if we lease optioned it for 200, so we're raising the price based on the value of the property, which is very normal to do in both scenarios, both lease option and owner finance. Now, we didn't want to get crazy, and this was a few years ago that we did this, so this was probably not in the middle of where the market went insane. So the goal would be to, if the property's in good condition, that you can get even more than what it's worth, and within reason, right? We still want to make sure that we can get people interested. So we could rent it for, let's say, $1,100, $1,150, somewhere in that range. And I know that there are educators out there that'll tell you that you can get higher rent for a lease option. And you might be able to, but I would tell you that I haven't necessarily noticed that. You might get the high end, or you might even get slightly higher, but I wouldn't go into the deal thinking that you're going to get more for the rent, okay? In this case, let's just take $1,100 as if that's what we would get. So we know that we're going to pay $440 a month. That was the PITI on the underlying loan. And we're paying $275 to the seller on their second note. And we're still responsible for the HOA, minus $140. So we're left with $245 a month in cash flow. Following me, both of you?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Good. Okay.
And that's because there's no, you're passing along all the expenses for repairs and maintenance, everything like that. That's why it's so cut and dry.
Yes. Yes. These are the things, though, that we're still going to be responsible for. Okay. Yep. Option deposit. So we're going to get 3-5%. And so I took $8,000. Okay. What did we put down on this property?
10,
right? So already a little bit of an issue. Not a huge one, but a little bit. Okay. If a buyer gets a loan, they would have to finance 192. Now, I think we talked about this in a previous episode, that I always give my lease option tenants that whatever their option deposit, that can go toward their down payment. I have heard others that do not. That would be a business decision on everyone out there. I don't know why they would give me $8,000 when it doesn't go toward anything. But if you could make that happen, great. If not, do it this way. Okay. All right. So we would make $48,500, which is the 192. That would be the amount that they still owe us, right? That's their option price minus what we're paying the seller. So we paid 170 minus 10,000 minus $16,500, which would be the, I believe it's 275 times 60. Yes. Okay. So we would make $48,500. We're out $2,000, and we're probably out a little more than that because closing costs, but it's not a high price type property. So maybe another $1,500, $2,000 at most. So we're out a few thousand dollars up front, and we make $245 a month in cash flow. So could still work as long as the biggest one, the HOA, allows us to, right?
I have a question, Jeff. How long do you make these lease options for usually? Like, so if you're out 2000, I would want to at least make that back, right? Like through the cash flow, like the 245.
Mm-hmm.
So how long did you make the lease for, I guess?
So first of all, we didn't do it this way. More the example, if you were doing it a lease option, and more than likely, if it were me, I wouldn't give my lease option tenant as long to get their loan as I have on the deal. So I might give them 4.5 years. So, hey, if they don't perform or they can't buy at that point, because I have a deadline, right? I have a 5-year balloon on this. So they have to have a deadline. And if I give them my 5 years, then if they don't buy, I'm out of luck, right? So there's nothing more I can do with this. And more than likely, I'm defaulting and I'm giving the property back to the seller. So I would set this up for a 4-year lease option or a 4.5-year lease option. And I'm gonna have them working with a mortgage broker from day one. And I'm going to periodically be checking in with the mortgage broker to make sure that they're progressing. That way, hey, if 4 years comes by and they're no closer to getting finance, I can get them out and figure out a new solution for this property. Okay. I would maintain the tax benefits because I am the owner and I am renting the property. Okay. But when you sell it, they also have a recapture of depreciation. So I get it, but then I kind of give it back. Okay. So, all right. So let's look at what would happen if we owner financed it, which is what we did. Okay. So you'll get a bigger down payment. So we got $20,000. We sold it for $200,000, same price. We're not responsible for the HOA, the taxes, and the insurance, right? That our buyer is. So we give away all of that expense. And I don't even know if I figured that out correctly, but we'll see. I can charge a much higher interest rate because even if I'm a little bit higher than what rents would be, that they're getting a tax benefit now, right? They get to write off some of the interest. And they're getting a little bit of a tax benefit, the buyer is. So we sold this for 6.5%, but we probably could have gotten 7 to 8%. And so the payment, principal and interest, remember, they would still be paying taxes, insurance, and HOA on top of it. So that's why I kept it a little bit lower because, hey, when you add in all that, you know, they're probably more like $250 on top of this. So they're closer to $1,400. And remember, rents were like $1,150. Okay. The buyer has a much easier time refinancing than doing a new purchase, right? They've already got the down payment. They're going to have a track record of 4.5 years, whatever it's going to be. They still may have credit challenges that they have to overcome, but much easier to help someone get refinanced after a 4-year track. Now, if they didn't pay on time, like at all, and that they were always behind, that's not going to help. That track record is going to be kind of screwed. But
yeah,
as long as they do pay on time, they're building a better track record for themselves. They're helping themselves move toward being able to get this refinanced. Okay, so here's a big difference. So we made I knew the cash flow was off because the taxes and insurance, 275 plus what was the 440.
Little update on the fly to get you guys more accurate numbers.
Yeah, 715. Yeah, so we did better. We'll talk about that in a second. So, all right, so we made about $10,000 up front. So on the other, we're negative at least a couple grand, probably more like $3,000. And here we're probably positive like $8,500. Okay, so we make money up front. I personally like to make money up front. sometimes it makes sense that if you didn't, the deal could still work. But my preference is make money up front whenever you can. Okay. So the cash flow 422, that's actually not correct, because if we go back and we look at, hey, 440 included taxes and insurance, and taxes are about $70 a month. Insurance is probably like $35, $40 a month. So that it's probably an extra $110. So we're actually making like $530 a month. Okay. And so we're getting a much better cash flow every month. And when at the end of 5 years, and I just drew this all the way out to 5 years, the buyer owes $168,499, and we owe the seller $143,500. So we'll get another like $25,000. So really, let's see, if we did this for all 60 months, we'd make $31,800 in cash flow, plus $10,000, plus $25,000. And this might not be 100% correct because I screwed that up. So we'd make like $66,800.
Well,
and on a property that had what, 20 grand in equity, maybe. On this one,
about 48,500 on the lease option. Yeah,
245 times, say 60. 14,000, 52, 62. So they're fairly close. They come a little differently, right? Because this one, the lease option is really based on the cash out, right? So, which to me, remember, we mentioned this, I think, in last episode, that if the goal is to get cashed out during a specified period of time, I believe that your better option is owner finance, not lease option. So if you were not, if your tenant buyer was unable to complete this sale, all right, so you're out a couple of grand, you make 245 a month for 5 years, you don't make much money on this deal. Here, you do make quite a bit of money, even if for whatever reason the seller can't, the buyer can't get refinanced at the end. You're making 10 grand or so, maybe a little less, but you're making $500+ a month cash flow. And that part you don't get back. So that's why I like owner finance. And this is why, dealing with condos or properties that are in an HOA where, hey, there's really, if you look at rent-wise, there may not be enough spread in them. But if you were to buy it on terms and sell it on terms, you can actually create a really good spread on it, a good cash flow. Do you guys have any questions?
No, I think this is super helpful. It's interesting to see with this one that the owner financing, it is much more in the upfront in the cash flow versus the lease option was more on the back end.
Yeah, and that's going to be fairly typical because keep in mind, I mean, on a lease option, there's no principal pay down for the tenant buyer. So you're getting hopefully principal pay down because you bought it and you're, you know, whether there's interest or principal only payments or whatever, but you're getting that, but they're not. But that's also what's going to make it more difficult for them to get financing.
Because they'll have to come with more out of pocket at that point.
Well, in this case, the track record they've shown is that they were a renter. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, they put up $8,000. And yet, I'm not saying you can't get these people financed. You certainly can. But if they couldn't buy to begin with, then certain things need to happen, right? I am dealing with someone right now that, you know, their credit score is like 660 something, right? 664, I think it is. And it needs to be 680. And So they're 16 points away, and they have two lines of credit that are in collections, and they're small. So we want them to pay them both off and see if we can get, I can't even remember, I literally talked to the mortgage broker yesterday, and I can't remember what he wanted, but it's a particular, they want them to like erase it off their credit, which would boost their credit over 680, and then they can get this loan. And so those are the differences. And this is, again, someone that's been, you know, I've been dealing with them for 5 years, and, you know, they should have fixed this a while ago. They haven't. And that's what happens. So I'd much rather, if they were trying to purchase, that they would now, you know, this is, what did I sell this to them for? Like 400. And, you know, they put a significant amount of money down. And what if they didn't have a significant amount of money now? So that's only going to make it harder for them to qualify for that loan. So now, even as a refinance, we still are trying to get their credit up so they can actually refinance the property.
So just like the lease option, are you checking in with the owner financing deal to make sure they're on like track to refinance at the end of the term or before the end of the term?
For me, I'm doing a lease option more likely when I don't have a term and I really don't care if they buy or not. And in which case, I'm going to tell them up front, look, you have some credit issues. I'm sure you're aware of that. That's why you're doing this, right? As opposed to just going to the bank and buying. Here are what the issues are. I'm going to give you a couple of references for credit repair. I'm going to give you a couple of references for mortgage brokers. But then I'm not going to do anymore because I don't care. And hey, if they buy during the time frame, good for them. And if they don't, then I'll decide, what do I want to do? Do I want to tell them, look, you've missed out on your option. I'm happy to continue to rent. You've been good tenants, or you've been very poor tenants. I want you out. I may raise the rent. I may not. Because remember, they're still responsible. If they're upkeeping the property and I don't have to worry about it, I'll probably just leave it. But if they come to me like 2 years later and say, hey, we still want to buy, can we buy for that price? Absolutely not. We'd have to renegotiate that price. If I have a time frame, like a 5-year term, a 7-year term, then almost for sure I want to do owner finance. And yes, I would probably like once a year, for the first few years, just make sure that, you know, I'm putting them in touch with a mortgage broker, and it's someone that, hey, I like, I work with, and I would probably touch base with the mortgage broker and say, hey, have you been in touch with my buyers, and where are we at? Are they doing what they're supposed to be doing? What do you think they need to do at this point? I may have put them in touch with credit repair, and have they been doing it? But there's not a lot I can do if they're not, right? Other than keep reminding them that don't wait till the last minute and you're going to run out of time. You're not going to be able to do anything. So the more I have a short time frame, the more I'm going to be involved. And when I say me involved, me following up with the people that need to be doing stuff.
Okay.
Any other questions? I think this debate comes up frequently, and I think both strategies have very useful they can be very useful in people's business. And I don't know that you actually have to choose a side necessarily. I mean, you can certainly use both, but you do want to understand why, if I use one, what am I giving up? What am I getting? As opposed to using another one. And I think that there are times where you definitely want to be aware of that, right? And it may not mean anything to you the day that you sell or rent, and it may not mean anything to you for a couple of years down the road. But if it does mean something, it has a things tend to happen when you're not anticipating them, and that's when you don't want them to happen. So try to plan ahead a little bit. All right. So that is the conclusion of our owner finance versus lease options. Make sure you go out and create some terms. We'll see you next time.